Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of praying together, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. Open the Word, grant that we may be able to lay hold of the truth of it, and grant, dear Lord, we pray, that understanding of the Word that will result in victory in our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, both chapter 21 and chapter 22, because the subject we will be discussing will be presented in that portion of the Word of God. Will you keep in mind that in the lessons we have been studying in the book of the Revelation, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, we have come not only to chapters 21 and 22, as far as chapters are concerned, but we have come to the end of time and the beginning of eternity. We have been studying the book of Revelation from a chronological standpoint, and we have seen how this present heaven and this present earth will someday pass away, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness shall eternally dwell. He will create new nations of people, we learned, to people that new earth. Then he will begin again, so to speak. We said to you that in this lesson we would talk to you about our eternal home. We're going to talk to you about the New Jerusalem. I'm going to say something right now that you may not understand unless you listen very carefully, and that you may not agree with unless you stop and think about it. You may even be alarmed a bit about it unless you give some special consideration to what we are going to say and then verify it from the Word of God. When I speak to you of our eternal home, I am not speaking to you about the place where Christian dead people are now. I am speaking to you about where they will spend eternity, not where they are living at this very moment. I trust that you understand the place of the dead as it is taught in the Word of God. You understand that when a believer, and of course you know what I mean by a believer, a person who has placed his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand that when a believer leaves this life, his body is placed in the grave, there to remain until the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the air. When you have time, read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. But his spirit immediately, more quickly than it takes me to tell you, goes to be with the Lord. Now get what I said to you, please. When an individual leaves this life, his body is placed in the grave to remain there until the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the air. But his spirit, immediately, more quickly than it takes me to tell you, goes to be with the Lord. He goes immediately into the presence of the Lord who loved him and died to save him, and so shall he ever be with the Lord. Now, where is that? Where is that place where he goes? According to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, that is paradise. That is the third heaven. There is a heaven about this earth known as the atmospheric heaven. There is a second heaven the Bible speaks about, where all the stars and the planets are, and there is a third heaven where God's throne is. The very moment a person dies, his spirit goes to that third heaven where he is with the Lord. That is the reason why, though our hearts may be sorrowful when we have to bid our loved ones goodbye, if they know the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. We know that those who know the Lord are far better off than they possibly could be on the earth. We know from what the Word of God says that they are conscious, enjoying all the blisses of heaven. And we know that they know the good things that are going down here on the earth, though God in His mercy has restricted from their sight the bad things. Sometimes I have talked with people whose loved ones have recently died. They have had some special prosperity come to them, and they have said to me, "I wish John could know this. He always worried about me so. I wish he could know that this good thing has happened." Well, I want to tell you, dear one, he knows it. God, in His mercy and in His grace, permits him to know the good things that happen on the earth. So, if you have some loved one who has left this life, and you know he has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, don't be concerned about him. He is in the best place he could possibly be. He is with the Lord. He is in paradise. He is in the third heaven. Though I say all of that, so you will permit me to say that what we are studying about here is not the place where he is, but the place where he will be. Because this New Jerusalem is not his present abode. This New Jerusalem is his eternal home. This is the place the Lord Jesus talked about in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. Maybe it would be good for us to turn there for a moment to refresh our memories concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say about our eternal home. Listen to the words. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You glance at verse 2 and notice how it should be read according to the original text. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, not many mansions. Folk need not worry about whether they're going to have a mansion or a cottage. There are many dwelling places, all of them of the same caliber, meant for those who have died knowing the Lord when they reach this eternal dwelling place. In verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." The inference is that when the place is prepared, then I will come again and take you to the place that I have been preparing for you. When he said, "I will come again and receive you," he was not talking about death. When an individual dies who knows the Lord Jesus Christ does not come for him. His angels come for him and take him to the third heaven, where he is with the Lord. But when our eternal home is prepared, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, to which we've already referred, and we are all going to be caught up together with all the believers to meet the Lord in the air. And we shall be with the Lord, because he has come for us to live in this eternal home, upon which, as someone has said, he has been doing interior decorating for the last 2,000 years. This is the one message that I always enjoy bringing, because it is the most wonderful thing that we could possibly think about. I say to you that the eternal home that we are discussing in Revelation 21 and 22 is the mansion, the dwelling place, the eternal home that the Lord Jesus Christ said he was going to prepare. This eternal home about which we speak is the city that kept Abraham going in his most discouraging moments. Will you turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and remember that Abraham made a much greater sacrifice to follow God than many of us will be called upon to make. Because he left a city which was modern in the strictest sense of the word and went out to live in a tent, because he had the inspiration of this eternal home before him. Notice Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. By faith he, Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Notice verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city which has foundations. We're going to learn in a little while how many foundations this city has. I don't know whether Abraham knew how many it has or not, but he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and architect is God. And that is exactly what we read in John chapter 14, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the architect of this city. Now, if you will glance down at the 16th verse of Hebrews chapter 11, you will see the same truth emphasized as Paul speaks of others who left their permanent dwelling places and became strangers and pilgrims in the earth. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And I want to tell you this morning, friend, today, that God has prepared for you that city. And I hope you're making your way there. And I hope that soon the Lord Jesus Christ comes, that death will be defeated, and we all might joyfully enter the city together. Our time is gone. Will you remember to pray for us? May God bless each one of you today.